I will not believe. That is what the doubting Apostle Thomas declared when the other apostles told him about their meeting of the risen Lord Jesus on the evening of Easter Sunday. No, he said, unless I see the print of the nails in his hands, unless I put my finger in the mark of those nails, and unless I place my hand in the hole in his side, I will not believe. Please notice, Thomas did not say, I cannot believe. He said, I will not believe. We live in an age of widespread unbelief, a time of great apostasy or falling away from faith in Jesus Christ as the risen Lord. And this unbelief is often ascribed by those who have no faith or who have walked away from their faith as being the result of scientific knowledge or of disgust with corruption in the church, or of the implausibility to the modern mind of what the Bible teaches about the origin and destiny of the cosmos, the nature and dignity of the human person, and the high moral obligations that attend being created in the image and likeness of God. But while all of these and other serious questions demand serious answers, answers which await in a library full of books for anyone willing to read them, these objections don't really get to the heart of unbelief in the simple, direct way stated by doubting Thomas. I will not believe. You see, for the vast majority of unbelievers, that is the real issue, whether they acknowledge it or not. It isn't that they cannot believe, it is rather that they will not believe. But why? Well, very often they will not believe because it is not possible to confess that Jesus of Nazareth is God the Son, the eternal Word made flesh, and then go on living the way I used to live and still want to live before I learned that the Lord Jesus is the Lamb once slain who lives forever. To encounter Jesus Christ and know that he is the God who created the universe and who makes sinful humanity into a new creation by grace through faith, is to be changed by conversion, to become a witness to the resurrection, to be made an instrument of grace for others, and to be sent to lead others to know, love, and serve the risen Christ. And the primary obstacle to that vocation in each of our lives is the same thing: my own will and the sins I choose and cling to in the name of personal autonomy, thus placing my will in opposition to the will and word of God. In other words, for most people, the primary obstacle to accepting the truth of the gospel with the obedience of faith is not in the intellect, but in the will. I will not believe. I will not believe because I will not be changed. I will not believe because I will not serve. I will not believe because I will not relinquish my treasured sins. I will not believe because I will not even admit that my sins are sins. I simply will not believe. But I may contrive reasons to explain my unbelief rather than to admit the real reasons to myself or to others. Now, most of the time, these obstacles to belief are not carefully worked out and clearly understood in the hearts and minds of unbelievers. Rather, like a stopped-up sink, we learn of the blockage by seeing its results. But even then, we don't know exactly where the problem lies. The blockage might be close to the surface, or it might be deep down inside. We know only that the line is plugged up and the water cannot flow. And so it goes with those who will not believe. They themselves may not comprehend why they will not believe, But in the confusion, strife, loneliness, unhappiness, or lack of purpose in their lives, the water of grace cannot flow. It cannot flow, that is, until someone breaks up the blockage by breaking through their fear and doubt. In the second lesson today, we read the account by St. John the Apostle and Evangelist of his mystical experience on the island of Patmos, a vision in which he saw the risen Lord in glory. Now, John knew and loved the Lord Jesus intimately, and he was a personal witness of the resurrection. But upon seeing Christ revealed in glory as the Pantocrator, or ruler of the universe, even John was filled with reverential fear, and he wrote that when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And what was Christ's response to John's collapse? He touched me with his right hand and said, "Be not afraid. I am the first and the last, the one who lives. Once I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Be not afraid. Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. All time belongs to Christ and all the ages. And on the day of resurrection, the Lord Jesus returned to the upper room in which on the previous Thursday evening he celebrated his Last Supper with the apostles to transform the Passover of Israel into the Eucharist of the Church. Then, on Easter Sunday evening, Jesus passed through the locked doors of their fear and said to them, "Peace be with you." And then he gave them their mission. "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. As the Spirit or breath of God moved over the waters at the dawn of creation and brought forth life, so now the Spirit is given to bring forth the new life of grace. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven." My friends, it is Christ himself who breaks through the obstacles of our fear, our pride, our shame, our doubt, and our refusal to be changed. Jesus passes through the locked doors of our hearts. And as he did for Thomas, Christ shows us his glorious wounds and invites us to share in his suffering so that we may learn to die to self. "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." But since Christ ascended to his Father 50 days after the resurrection, how then does he appear to us today to accomplish this work of conversion in our lives? Well, the Lord Jesus comes to us through prayer and fellowship with other Christians, through the service of the poor and those who suffer from need of any kind, and above all, through the Holy Scriptures and the sacraments of the New Covenant, which are united as means of grace in the worship of the Church. 8 days ago, in the celebration of the resurrection, we renewed the promises of our baptism. And on this octave day of Easter, we rejoice in the gift of the sacrament of penance, the ordinary means by which our sins are forgiven after baptism. The Lord Jesus gave this sacrament of confession to his Church in the very first words he spoke to his apostles after the resurrection. "Because we are restored to the peace which the world cannot give, only by the forgiveness of our sins." But both baptism and confession are merely preparations for our most important encounter with the risen Christ, namely receiving the most holy sacrament of the altar, the Holy Eucharist, in which the Lord Jesus gives us his body and blood as the medicine of immortality and as food for everlasting life. Over 3 days in that same upper room, Jesus gave us the sacraments of the priesthood, the Eucharist, and the confession of sins as 3 of the 7 instruments of grace by which he remains with us. These are the means by which he reveals himself to us and leads us to cry out with the Apostle Thomas, "My Lord and my God." So how did the risen Lord move Thomas from "I will not believe" to "My Lord and my God"? By revealing himself, by the revelation of suffering accepted from love, by the revelation of love that conquers sin and death, and by the revelation of the peace which casts out fear and opens our hearts and minds to trust the Word of God, the Word made flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to the apostle who no longer doubted, Christ the Lord said, "You have believed in me, Thomas, because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And God be praised, 2 millennia later, here we are. But there are many others who are not yet here, or who are no longer here among us, because they will not believe. And it is our privilege and duty to be witnesses for them to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By our words and by our lives, we are sent to invite them to know, love, and serve the risen Christ. So think of someone who does not yet know that Jesus Christ is Lord, or who once did but has abandoned the faith for some reason, or is lost in paralyzing doubt, or is trapped in habitual sin. And then go to that person, remembering that John the Evangelist and Apostle composed his gospel for this reason. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Christos Anesti. Alithos Anesti. Amen. Alleluia.